From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, inviting you to join us as we meet our guests and encourage you to be part of the discussion. Our topic today is charter schools in North Carolina. What role should they play within the public school system, and how is that role changing? The level of financial transparency required of charter schools is a topic of intense debate both in Raleigh and among members of the news media. Senate Bill 793, the charter school bill, would make charter schools subject to open meetings and public records laws. State leaders are working out differences on that bill in a conference committee. Just last week, the State Board of Education approved a revised charter school application that makes some company financial information more public. Critics equate the lack of transparency to a lack of accountability in return for public funds. The Star News recently launched its own investigation into the financial structure of the Roger Bacon Academy, the for-profit management company that oversees three local charter schools. On today's Coastline, we'll explore what public education experts say the role of charter schools should be in the state. We'll also examine those questions that have arisen around transparency, accountability, and whether equal access to these schools exists in practice or is just theoretical. Joining us now in the studio is Nick Rhodes, former New Hanover County School Board member and current board member of Public Schools First North Carolina, an advocacy group for public schools that is challenging the role and the scope of charter schools. Nick Rhodes is also a member of WHQR's Community Advisory Board. Welcome to Coastline, Nick Rhodes.
Thank you very much.
Also joining us by phone today from Charlotte, he's a former state senator and the current executive director of the North Carolina Charter Public Charter Schools Association. There were too many charters in that title. It's the Charter Public Schools Association, an advocacy group for charter schools in the state. Eddie Goodall, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel.
During the next hour, you're invited to join our discussion. Do you have a child in the public school system, in a charter school? How did you choose your child's current school, and are you happy with that decision? Send us an email at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR, and in a few minutes, we'll open the phone lines as well. So first of all, there's a lot of terminology in this discussion that can get misused or misunderstood. So let's establish what we're talking about. Eddie Goodall from North Carolina Charter Public Schools Association, how would you define a charter school in this state?
A charter school is a school that's created legislatively. There has to be a contract between the state and the body that is going to govern the school. That school is independent of the local school district, meaning it can make decisions on its own. A charter school is a public school, let's not forget. It is free, tuition-free to anyone in the state that could otherwise go to a public school. And typically, the schools are a little smaller. The idea is for them to be innovative, to do, in certain cases, some things differently to see if they work. And the idea, I think, long-term is to take these ideas or what works and implement those across the board or to at least the extent possible to improve public education as a whole. I've said a lot of times, and I think a lot of my colleagues agree, that the charter school education is not necessarily about children in charter school seats. It's about all the rest. I think the idea was to improve, raise the tide for public education in general.
Nick Rhodes of Public Schools First. First of all, would you agree with that description of what a charter school is and what it should be? I know Mr. Goodall pointed out that this is supposed to be something of a laboratory and then best practices are eventually implemented in the traditional public schools. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And I would agree with his general description of a charter school. However, I think the charter schools have gotten away from their original mission of doing that, and they were created to provide education, innovative techniques and instruction for students that are in danger of academic failure and students who are academically gifted, and make proof of concept of those ideas and bring those back into the public school setting. I think they have moved far from that charter today.
You mentioned, Eddie Goodall, that charter schools are free. They're public schools in the state. How do kids, for people who aren't familiar with the concept here, how do kids get into charter schools here?
Their parents apply. Charter schools have they have different school years. Each school determines it has to have a same number of hours and days in the year, but the boards typically determine their schedules. So right now it's up to parents to find charter schools that they are close to or they would like for their child to go to and go to those websites, find out when application periods, open enrollment is, and then apply. And in some cases, there are too many people that apply for the number of seats, in which case they have a lottery. And in other cases, not. But it's up to the parent to find the schools and learn about the schools, compare those to the traditional public school close by, and make decisions. It provides a choice for the parent.
And just to be clear about where the two of you are coming from, Nick Rhodes, you are a board member of Public Schools First NC. Can you describe the mission of that organization?
Yes, the mission of Public Schools First North Carolina is to spread the word across North Carolina and be an advocate for public schools. Our charter is to inform the parents, teachers, and our community about Public Schools First, and for them to then become an advocate for Public Schools First. We have a number of people who are engaged in our activities, and we feel strongly that public schools are critical to a growing economy and maintaining the vitality of our community. And I think most people would agree with that. Our goal is to educate and inform North Carolinians about the critical issues that impact our schools and our teachers, our students, and engage all stakeholders in supporting quality public schools. And that's what we are about.
And Eddie Goodall, you initially started with a different charter school advocacy group, broke off from that, and started North Carolina Public Charter Schools Association. Can you tell us about that? Why did you start your own organization?
Yes. While there was a cap of 100, as you both know, and by the way, I want to thank Nick and acknowledge his being on a board of education. That is one of the toughest jobs, from being in state senate and dealing with county commissioners and state and local boards. That is one of the very toughest jobs there is. And so, you know, we should all appreciate those people that are willing to give their time to school boards. And because of the cap, again, the charter school movement was, I guess, small enough. There wasn't that type of interest across the country to looking at North Carolina's charter sector, I guess, early. But when the cap was appeared to possibly be lifted, there was more interest, and some folks invited me to be the first full-time employee advocating for charter schools with a group called the North Carolina Public Charter Schools, North Carolina Alliance for Public Charter Schools. I very happily took that job because I was just coming out of the Senate. I decided I had to actually earn money, a little bit of money, a little bit more than I was making in the Senate. And so I took that job. I did that for 2 years, and without getting into a lot of details, but the main problem was we had a board member that wanted to be on the Charter School Advisory Council that was created by Senate Bill 8, the bill that lifted the charter cap. I wanted to be on the council and wanted to work then as a regulator and be the chair of our alliance, our membership organization. So I felt like, and our employees felt like, that if you were the regulator, you shouldn't be regulating those whom you are soliciting conference attendance from and dues and membership. So we felt like that conflict was just too severe to be part of, so we formed another organization.
You formed another organization, and didn't you also file a complaint against Baker Mitchell, who founded the Charter Day School Incorporated School Network in Brunswick, New Hanover, and Columbus counties?
I did. I filed against two charter school advisory board members, and the council became the board. By the way, we're using different terms, but the council was originally created. It was changed to the board with Senate Bill 337, which passed last summer. that the original appointees of the council were by Beverly Perdue, and so I think there might have been some political reasons, I guess, for the creation of the board. But at any rate, Baker Mitchell was not the board member when we formed this organization. Excuse me, was not the board chair of the Alliance when we formed this organization, but he was on the board. Was added on the board the day I left, as a matter of fact. And so the first 2 years of the council, they had a different conflict of interest policy that was very weak. It was not the conflict of interest policy that followed the State Ethics Commission rules. So when this Senate, when this board, new board was created, the law included it with those that were had the answer to the state ethics law. And I believe what happened specifically was we think two members of the Charter School Advisory Board should have recused themselves in a vote and did not. And that was the line. Before that, we had complained, but...
Mr. Goodall, we have just a few seconds left we go to break, and we'll finish the story in a moment. I just want to say you wrote in your complaint, according to the Star News, Mitchell violated the State Ethics Act by using his role on the Charter School Advisory Board to enhance his own business interests. We're going to talk about that idea. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about charter schools in North Carolina. When we come back, we'll take your calls, 910-343-1138. Send emails to coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline.